is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dave, for this introduction. And I love the sirens. And I think today we're really talking war room because it is a war. There's an onslaught on Christianity and it's happening right, left and center. There's an attempt by another religion to dominate us and to get us out of the equation. And we need to rise up. We need to stand against them and stand against them in the right way, you know, not with weapons of war, but we are looking at a battle. Second Corinthians says that that we resist and that we stand up against anything that extols itself, that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And there are so many things which set themselves up against the knowledge of God, and one of them is false religion. And one of the religions which goes very much against what the Bible teaches is Islam. And we need to understand a little bit what Islam is all about and also what the historical origins are of Islam. One of the biggest problems we have in history is that we're always accused, or that the Christian West is always accused about the Crusades. And even though there were a lot of things which weren't right from a Christian perspective, especially when you apply the New Testament, nevertheless, from a political perspective, it was probably something that was overdue and that should have happened about 200 years earlier. To help our Christian brothers and sisters in North Africa, in the Middle East, and elsewhere to, you know, finish this movement before it takes everything over. Nothing happened, nothing was done, and here we go. Yeah? Today we have got about, I think the last big attempt to try and capture Europe for Islam was in the early 1700s, I'm not quite sure when it was. Wasn't 1703? I'm not sure. The last siege of Vienna. Let me just call it up on Google. There are two sieges of Vienna. One of them was actually a 9/11, round about that date. And some people say that, you know, the whole 9/11 thing, the Bin Laden thing, was maybe linked to the date. But Vienna was almost finished, and yet, it was 1683, 12 September 1683. So it started, the decisive battle was on the 11th of September, so it was 9/11, 1683. So not 1700, but 1683. So that's not long ago, you know. 1700s is about 300 years ago when it all sort of kicked off. And that was the last time when there was a major onslaught on the West, and it could have changed history for good. Could have meant that Europe would be Islamic if they had succeeded in those days. Okay, we've got a talk here by Dr. Bill Warner, and he looks at the sort of historical evidence of Islam and digs out some information which is rarely taught in schools. All we hear is how wonderful Islam is and that it is a religion of peace and, you know, full of tranquility and all that. And that we've got the golden age of Islam, which was very, you know, enlightened, and a lot of interesting things were done. And yet, when you ask a few questions, you see that not many inventions were happening during this time. Medically, there was quite some things were done which weren't done in Europe at the time. So they had inoculations and other things as well. Yeah? But partly they were there before Islam as well. So there was a lot of knowledge even before the arrival of Islam, which was just carried on during the period. But to be fair, not much development happened, and on the contrary, the classical world was pretty much destroyed through Islam. Bill Warner makes this point, and he puts a little bit of a dampener on what is taught these days in schools, and very often is not the love for the truth, but it's a love for political correctness, and it's homage to the God of tolerance, where we cannot offend anybody, and if we tell the truth, it might be quite offensive to people, and they might get really upset about it and, set cars on fire and start doing crazy things and so on. And that's the reason why we need to be politically correct. Now, my opinion is we need to be, face up to the truth. And we should have enough backbone to be able to do this. You know, face up to our own truth as well, to whatever happened in the Crusades, what happened on our side. There was a lot of terrible stuff there, but we hear this all the time. But we shouldn't forget what the other side did to us. There were a lot of atrocities committed. There were genocides committed, fully-fledged genocides. Germany is always quoted for 6 million Jews. Nobody ever quotes or, looks at Turkey about 2 million Armenians, which were killed in the First World War, just put on a death march and decimated. Nobody talks about that. Yeah, that's okay. The Armenians talk about this. They're very much aware about what's been happening. Christians within Turkey, they know about this and they talk about this and they're very much aware of what was taking place as well. But in the West, nobody ever talks about it because we cannot upset these people. No. Truth be known, that's important, and we should face up to it. We can't blame the current generation for something that happened about 100 years ago, but what we can do is we can, highlight the truth and appeal to the current generation not to repeat the same mistakes. And that's pretty much what's been happening with Germany, and it's good, highlighting the whole thing. I still believe it's not necessarily the truth that's being told in Germany, and that there's a lot of propaganda that's hidden in there. War propaganda, which later, was accepted as truth without asking any questions. And I think even in Germany today, if you're a so-called Holocaust denier, and that means looking at the facts and questioning the facts as they are presented today in the effort of finding out the truth. If you do this in Germany, you go to prison. Yeah, you go to court. It's a very delicate thing. I'm not in Germany, so should be okay. I think we've still got freedom of speech here. Am I doubting it? I'm not doubting it. The atrocities were committed. There was no doubt about that. The way they were committed is maybe slightly different, and I'm not sure whether the information we are getting is correct. Anyway, so my advice to you is, I love history. I love to look through what is happening in the past, all the stuff that's been happening. What is the story behind the stories? That's the kind of stuff which interests me. And I think we always need to ask ourselves, what is the story behind the story? Yeah, always dig a little bit deeper. Try to read between the lines. And this applies to modern news stories as well. I'm firmly convinced that a lot of news stories are very tainted. I'll give you one example. When the Iraq War was on, the first Iraq War, I had the privilege to listen to American news, to listen to British news and to German news, and they had the so-called embedded reporters. Now, when you listen to German news, and I understand that the reporters must have had a lot of links to, what was happening on the inside in Iraq, as well as to the embedded reporters. But when you listen to the German news, you thought, they were talking about two different wars compared to the British news. The British were involved, the Germans were neutral, and the news coverage was totally different, totally and utterly different. And sometimes you got the impression they were talking about two different wars. And I think when you look at history, it's sometimes very similar, that somebody tells the history and you just get it given. If you've got some Muslim friends who are well-versed in this period of the Crusades, it's worthwhile to talk to them about it, see what they have to say, and then ask them about their own history as well. And then listen to a guy like Bill Warner, who has been digging out documents and is reporting on this time, on what was happening in Islam, the spread of Islam, the destruction of the Christian North Africa, the Christian Middle East, and the annihilation of the literature and the books which were, which were available at that time. And then, just listen to their history, listen to the history. The liberals pipe down our throats, and then listen to the history some academics come up with. So you're listening to The War Room. This is ChristianWarRoom.com. And you can listen to the talks as well. There are two previous talks. There might be one after this. I'm not sure. The numbers are 151, 152, and 153. And I'm not sure whether we have got enough material for a fourth talk, but we'll see. Okay. You are listening to ChristianWarRoom.com.
Okay. During the Golden Age, Christians and Jews were dhimmis. Christians were sex slaves. Here's one that gets me. During this Baghdad Golden Age, they evolved a philosophy in which there were no laws of nature and there was no cause and effect. I'm a scientist. We work off of two laws, the law of contradiction, does the data contradict the data, and the law of cause and effect. I've just explained to you why, out of their golden age, why you don't find Muslims getting Nobel Prizes in science. You cannot be a scientist and not believe in cause and effect. You just can't. Won't work. Now then, the Christians did all of the vaunted translation of the Golden Age text, and get this. We're told that this was such a great peak of learning, they destroyed 90% of the books. And we're told that the remaining 10% they preserved is like, oh, this was the Golden Age. Oh, we live in eternal gratitude to the Muslims. If they had come along, we'd have had 100% of them. Presented with a library in India, the largest library in the world was a Buddhist library in Nalanda. They came to him and reported the existence after they had conquered, and they said, what shall we do with the library? The order from the general was this. If it contains any information that is in the Quran, we already have it, burn it. And if it contains any information that is not in the Quran, it is false, burn it. The same was done with most all of the libraries. And why are we told this was some wonderful golden age that preserved knowledge for us? Ottoman Empire, 1683. The reason I have this up here, Islam in Europe. That's the world today. I've now explained to you how this world came about. It came about through relentless, brutal persecution of everyone who was not a Muslim. Now then, let's change to modern times. All of that work stops in 1922. This works off a database of 19,000 jihad attacks since 9/11. There are things like this. I know the date, the country, the city, how many are killed, how many injured, and a description. Now, when you present a guy like me with 19,000 pieces of data, I start asking questions, how do we make this make sense? So let's make it make sense. By the way, you did hear all about these 19,000 attacks in the Tennessee and in the local newspaper, didn't you? You did hear about this. It was on the nightly news.
We heard about Fort Hood.
Oh. The workplace incident. Oh, yeah, I got that. All right. Anyway, moving along here. This, by the way, is where all these took place. I just think that's interesting. And you'll notice something. This is the Islamic world, and it all centers around it. But notice how much is happening in Europe. Okay. I take the data and I parse it and I divide it. I use Islamic doctrine to analyze this data. What does Islam insist on? Well, in my first lecture, I told you they're fixated on the kafir, right? So I use the kafir to analyze this data from an Islamic standpoint. See, I'm the ultimate multiculturalist. No, really. I'm the only person you've ever met who analyzes Islam on the basis of Islam. Here we go. Here we have, in the last 10 years, the total number of attacks. In the green, we have Muslim-on-Muslim violence. You mean a Muslim will kill a Muslim? Really? They're doing it in Syria as we speak, right? Remember Iran, Iraq? Okay. Then we have the only one I care about. I mean, my motto here is, sell weapons and intelligence to the loser. I'm very serious. You think I'm joking. Okay, here's our story right here. Stays pretty level. That's interesting. By the way, there's hardly a day in which there's not a jihad attack. Modern jihad is relentless, just like classical. Oh, by the way, one of the things this curve proves right here, Islam is bad for kafirs, Islam is bad for Muslims. Islam is bad for Muslim and non-Muslim. That's what this data shows us. You want to argue with that? Okay, modern jihad is relentless. But what did we see in the other battle map? It was relentless. There are two types of jihad, against the kafir and against Muslim. You see, every time they kill a Muslim, the reason in Syria they're killing other Muslims, they're not real Muslims. Okay? Now then, we've introduced, however, a new phenomena. The mom-and-pop non-state jihadi shop. Okay? All of those battles up to 1922 were out of the caliph. Okay? We now have non-state jihad. That is all that is different. Okay, jihad attacks per year. I just chose the top four nations. But this doesn't really give us what we want because Israel's teeny-weeny and India's great big. So let's do this on per capita. Now then, Israel, I bet you were surprised about Thailand. You didn't know that Thailand was getting whacked on a regular basis, did you? And look, here's a Christian nation, the Philippines, ranks number three. And then India was Hindu. Oops, wait a minute. Do you know what I just told you? Jihad is against the Jew, the Buddhist, the Christian, and the Hindu. This is the data. Now you go to these dialogues, these multicultural smoozes they have, where the preacher and the rabbi and the imam show up. The preacher and the rabbi show up to tie. The Muslim shows up to win. And then what does the Muslim tell them? Oh, the Christians and the Jews, they're people of the book. Oh, we're brothers in the religion of Abraham with the Christian and the Jew. You know, we're practically the same. We're brothers in Abraham. How's that stuff work out? Well, here's one of your people of the book. Here's another people of the book. Turns out they'll kill a Jew, a Buddhist, a Christian, or a Hindu just as fast as they will another. So much for being brothers in the religion of Abraham. The data does not support the theory. Therefore, the theory is wrong. There is no brotherhood of Abraham except in the minds of people who occupy pulpits. The jihad is against the Jew, the Buddhist, the Christian, the Hindu, and the secularist, by the way. The secularists are the worst of all. Well, maybe worse than the Hindu. It gets hard to know, you know, I mean, really. It's against all kafirs. That's who the jihad is against. The religion of peace. Here we go. 548 battles, 19,000 jihad attacks. In 12 decades, in 1,400 years that are jihad-free. Therefore, Islam is 91% violence and 9% peace. So George Bush was 9% right when he declared religion of peace. Constant violence is why? There's a doctrine. The doctrine of jihad is found in the Sirah, the Quran, and the Hadith. We've already been over this. They don't like kafirs. We have a whole doctrine of jihad within the text. Islam was only successful through jihad. Therefore, we have a doctrine which produces jihad, and it produces this effect of the collapse of civilizations. Here you go. Tears of jihad. 270 million dead over 1,400 years. Read them and weep. Read them and weep. The doctrine drives history. History shows the true nature of political Islam. Political Islam is the enemy of all kafir nations. There's an intellectual history. In 1,400 years, I've read a lot of old documents. They never talk about the Muslim. They talk about the Arab, the Turk, the Moor, Al-Qaeda, Asian. And it's always been by specialists. And today, all the established specialists are apologists for Islam. Why was the Quran code not cracked in recently? How come we don't teach Muhammad? And why is the Golden Age propaganda taught? Why do we remain ignorant and keep suffering? I maintain there's a reason for this. I maintain that this constant brutality over the centuries has produced in the Western mind the equivalent of the abused dog, the beaten wife, and the raped child. We do not think correctly. Everybody's seen the beaten dog that when you approach it, that is the Western mind. We deny the attacks. How much jihad is ever reported? The churches will not even admit that a Christian suffers anywhere. Fear. Muhammad used fear. Any public critic of Islam has a certain fear element there. Guilt. Oh, we haven't treated Islam right. If we treated him better, everything would be good. We don't teach the history. We humiliated. Who here is going to go home and brag about how your ancestors were slaves, how your history was annihilated, and that all we teach is the lie of the Golden Age? Have you not noticed since 9/11 how bitter and angry politics has gotten? The reason is we're not allowed to get angry at the enemy, so we get cranky with each other. We're powerless. Anybody want to debate about this? The abuser. Muslims will not admit they sold a single slave or ever killed a person. They're arrogant and self-confident. Islam is perfect. Word Islam means submit. They expect submission out of us, and they get it. Islam is the victim. After 9/11, I heard this. The real victims of 9/11 were the Muslims. You heard that anywhere? After 1,400 years of jihad, brutality, enslavement, theft, deception, rape, annihilation, and insults, the Kafir mind has become identical to that of an abused victim. Our only solution is to face our history and welcome it and embrace it. This is exactly the way we will heal our nation is the way we heal a person who's been brutalized. You have to go back to the original event.
You're listening to the Christian War Room, and I need to get the controls in order. You're listening to the Christian War Room, christianwarroom.com. You can listen to the rest of the talks as well, the previous talks. I thought we were possibly getting a fourth talk out of it, but that was my mistake. I was looking at the wrong data. I thought the talk was 56 minutes long. The original talk is only 44 minutes long, and you can pick up the full talk on YouTube. All you need to go type in on YouTube and then type in this question: why does the church keep the victory of the Crusades secret, by Dr. Bill Warner? If you type this in, you will get the full talk, and you can listen to the whole thing. You can see him as well. And he's got some very interesting maps as well, where he visualizes the battles of Islam and also the battles of the Crusades. And when you go through the time and you look at all these battles, it's just nothing compared to the onslaught of Islam on the West. Nobody ever questions what happened in Spain, what happened in Tours, what happened in Vienna in 1683 and 1529, I think. What happened? You know, why were the Muslims trying to conquer us? Why did they try to destroy our cities? Why did they try to get into Europe? And nobody ever asked this question. Nobody. But all we do is we say, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, for the Crusades and everything that was happening there. What happened when they tried to get Byzantine? Several times, yeah. And we sent our people down to head those guys. Anyway, it's just history. Obviously, history is never straightforward. A lot of lies are being told. History is always told by the victor. And we get several versions, and sometimes it takes a guy like Bill Warner to dig up all those documents and to set us a little bit straight. Okay, there are a lot of interesting websites. I looked at the terrorist attacks in the last couple of years. I think I was looking at 2017 and 2016, I think. And I was just looking at 1 year, how many terrorist attacks we had. If my memory serves me right, it went into 1,000. And these were terrorist attacks. Not just, I mean, the thing what we hear about in Europe and in America, if something happens in Europe and somebody gets murdered, shot, is straight away on the news, and we see this all over. But if something happens in Africa or in Asia or in Indonesia, it very often is not covered by the news. But when you look at those events, you get like lists of terrorist attacks. And I think it was, I don't remember the exact figure, but it was very high. It was like several attacks a day, each day of the year. So we come to about 1,000 or so. But check it out yourself. Just go on Wikipedia or on Google and type in terrorist attacks. And then look through the terrorist attacks. And you will find that roughly about 9 out of 10 have got an Islamic origin. And then there are a couple of freedom fighters, you know, who somewhere in some third world country caused an attack of some sort or another. So that is real. This is what's happening today. This is what's happening in 2017, and I'm sure if you get all the news from today, you'll probably get a bunch of terrorist attacks as well, and the news in 2018 as well. So this is our day and age. This is our day and age. Yeah, it's not just in ISIS territory, but it's all over the world where this is happening. Then we don't have to think about all the stuff that goes unreported, where people get molested, where they get beaten up, where they get put under pressure, where they get murdered in so-called honor killings. And that is sort of all by the by, and you're just hearing it on the edge, maybe in a local newspaper or something when this takes place. And very often the term honor killing is not used because politically that's not correct, and today we have to pay homage to the God of tolerance and kill the truth. That is what we are told by the secular society. Anyway, I'm not bending down to this. I'm not yielding to this. I'm all for the truth, and I hope you are as well. Okay, we're going to conclude this broadcast here in the war room on this subject. There are a couple of websites I would like you to go through. One of them is jihadwatch.org. It's by Robert Spencer. He keeps a track of all the stuff that's going on. Let's have a quick look there. Jihadwatch. And I'm doing it on Google. Google is very biased. Let's see whether it takes us straight there. It does, actually, so I have to take all my evil thoughts back. We've got jihadwatch.org. You get like a daily rundown, news articles on stuff. I mean, the biggest thing which is happening now is Islamophobia. Erdogan is trying to press European Parliament to make Islamophobia a crime. Now, how can phobia be a crime if I don't like something and I've got a phobia is normally an irrational fear. I've got an irrational fear of something. How can this be a crime? If I criticize something, how can this be a crime? In a nation, in a democracy of free speech, we should be able to say what we think without fear. And maybe sometimes what we think is wrong. Maybe sometimes it's justified, but in a democracy, in pluralism, we should be able to say the good things and the bad things and speak freely without fear of prosecution. Okay, another website is Muslim Journey to Home. Let me see whether I can find this. Muslim Journey to Hope. Yeah, let's see whether it comes up. It's Muslim Journey to Hope, yeah, .com. And yeah, that's a website. I'm on the muslimjourney.hope.com. It's a really good website. You get a lot of Muslims talking about their experience of coming to Christ. Yeah. And it's quite a good website. There are a lot of audio files on there. They've changed the website a little bit. I'm just going on it and I can't see that many. Let's have a look. You can download Arabic Bibles. You can compare the Bible and the Quran. Let's have a look. Salvation. Talks about salvation. Very good website. I would recommend it for anybody who is witnessing to Muslims. I think there's nothing like a good testimony. Okay, so not that many talks. They used to have a lot more talks on there. They had about, I don't know, loads more, but they might be hidden somewhere in there. So I'm just clicking through here on the computer. Obviously, you can't see what we are doing here. No, it's not there. Let me just go back to Google. Maybe it's muslimjourney.tohope.org. No. Anyway, they used to have a lot more audio files as well. So you had audio files as well as videos on the website. But check it out. It's certainly good to go there. It's www.muslimjourneytohope.com. Okay. Another website is persecution.org, which I would recommend for you to go there. And that gives you a good idea of what is going on in the world as far as Christian persecution is concerned. And worthwhile to check it out, to go there, persecution.org. And you get up-to-date news. You can, if you've got a Twitter account, you can connect to their Twitter feed and you get up-to-date information. It's worthwhile to pray as well. It's tough, you know, when people live in persecution and when they never know what the next day is going to be like, you know, whether they're going to be dead or alive. And this is a reality of many Christians in the Middle East and in other parts of the world. Okay, and I have to stop here. So God bless and bye-bye from the Christian War Room.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.